The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Notice, notice, this midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
And welcome.
Hey, hey. Hey everyone. Hey.
Minisode. Hey.
It's minisode time. Are you ready to have a minisode?
Oh, well, hello there.
Minisode 249. What do you got, Jesse? You had to go find what you found. What did you find?
I have a whole thing for you guys. Okay. I hope you're ready. It's fascinating.
I'm ready.
So I found this late at night when I was doing my should have been sleeping, but I was on Reddit instead. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been wondering why it is some people not only just believe, but also heavily endorse claims that can easily be disproven. Like, It's one thing to believe something that's fake, but it's another to stick to that belief after all the evidence has been clearly shown to you and you are like 100% wrong. A new research study published in the Journal of Social Psychology tackles this thing. If you want to look it up, it's called Symbolic Show of Strength, a Predictor of Risk Perception and Belief in Misinformation. They did this study during the pandemic. It was for, I think they surveyed 5,535 people across 8 countries to investigate beliefs in COVID-19 misinformation, along with like other things. But you know, stuff like 5G networks were causing COVID, or like that, all the crazy stuff.
I'm curious what this is gonna say, because I feel like we've talked about this, like our own theories and stuff many times.
Yeah, this is like pretty much where we're at, which is interesting. So the biggest indicator they discovered on whether someone believed or not was how they viewed the prevention efforts in terms of its symbolic strength versus weakness. So in other words, these people cared more about the appearance of giving in once their belief was questioned rather than the fact that their belief was a lie. They would rather live in the lie and know they were living in a lie than say you're right or give in to an authority figure.
100%.
But it gets interesting in a weird, like, messed up way. So rather than consider the issue in the light of facts, people with this mindset believing in a lie to the point that it makes no sense and makes fools of them, they're more likely to see it as a power move to say, yeah, I don't care. Which is interesting because you've seen videos when like someone talks to a MAGA dude like gets them and they go, I don't care. Because it's not about that. It's not about being proven wrong. It's about like a weird superiority of like, I know better than you.
And, gaining your own space in your freeness of your mind or some shit like that.
But this, I think you're also probably going to go into this, Jesse, but we've talked about this before. I forget how old the study's done now. It's a few more than just one of them, but it's the idea that when your, whatever it is you believe is criticized or questioned, your brain treats it like a personal attack. And like the same chemicals that get fired from me being like, hey, you smell today, or, you know, go take a shower, whatever you fucking is. Your brain takes that as a personal attack. When you attack somebody's core beliefs, your brain reacts the same way, thinking and treating it like a personal attack, which is where mindfulness meditation kind of stuff can come in, where you can feel that. And then instead of giving into the reaction, be like, hang on. Cause like even people who are willing to adapt their views, there's still that moment of like defensiveness and like, you got to take a minute. Sometimes it takes a day. You go away, you come back. That's
how most arguments start in general, is you get defensive.
That's your right to like kind of like stick up for yourself, but you got to go in there being
open-minded.
Yeah, you got to be in there being like, maybe I am wrong. Like,
but again, think about the strength versus weakness thing, because when we get it, this is so fascinating.
So like that.
So when people, you know, think symbolically this way about stuff, the literal issue, in this case, fighting COVID-19, is secondary to the psychological war over people's minds. Mm. Wearing a mask, giving in. Vaccines equals surrender. In addition, the study focused on attitudes about cryptocurrency and whether people saw crypto as an investment in terms of signaling independence from traditional finance. And again, same group as COVID deniers were really heavily likely to be involved in crypto, but also falling for all sorts of misinformation and being heavily into conspiracies. But shockingly, a thing that I brought up on the show and we've talked about before, the idea that, like, how can you believe these conspiracies but not those conspiracies? Like, great example, Epstein files. Like, how are people who believe in all these conspiracies like Pizzagate not buying into the Epstein files when some dude who's definitely involved is like, no, it's nothing? Like, how is it? They're like, yeah, no, it's right. It's nothing. We need to move on.
Because there's this weird dichotomy in this sphere of like being wrong, can't be wrong, have to be right. But daddy says whatever daddy says is right. And I don't go against daddy.
That's the thing. Turns out the study concluded this mindset is strongly associated with authoritarian attitudes, including beliefs that some groups should dominate others. And the support of an autocratic government or strong man who makes the choices, who decides what's real and what's not and what's right and what's wrong, is much more important to them, to society, to everything. Truth isn't even the point. It's about straight up just like control and having control of your life, the things you make. And it really comes down to a sense of complete uncontrol.
Yes.
And the only way to take care of it is to like be the most in control. And if it means lying to yourself, lying to everyone, but you're still in charge of that lie and you know you're lying, it's fine.
I love this kind of topic because it's all also that thing that where originally woke come from, right? Like the original idea of woke is the idea of like, once you learn and see and understand reality or life as it is for real with all its greatness and terrible things, you can't unsee it, right? Your eyes are open. You're awake.
You've been convinced. You can't be unconvinced of something.
Right. And the reality of life is it's chaotic and scary and messy and not good guys always winning over bad guys. And like, you have to get involved if you want your life to change anyway. And that shit, like being on the other side of like having like, you know, adult realizations in some way, there's always that desire, like inner desire for me to be like, man, I wish I could just go back to being stupid or like ignorant or not thinking about it. And by allowing somebody that you believe is smarter than you and better than you, whatever, for whatever reasons, defaulting to them, you get the freedom of not having to think while also getting the luxury of thinking the person you're defaulting to is the smartest person in the world or whatever. And you don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
It's all about not having to exist as much as possible.
Yeah. They call them symbolic thinkers. But they're saying symbolic thinkers, nearly any statement can be justifiable. The more outlandish or easily disproved something is, the more powerful you seem standing by it. Being an edgelord or a contrarian online provocateur, for example, you can outright lie, do all these different things, but being that sort of like, I stick it to the man, that is your own way of appearing authentic to others who think like you.
Yep.
It kind of ends with saying like, some people see this and they see this link between like, you know, Donald Trump sending National Guards into various cities, and it doesn't matter to them if it's right or wrong. The desired end goal is the point. And it doesn't matter if it's a farce and goofy and they show for, like, there is a very funny thing that trended a few, like maybe 2 or 3 days ago, which was during No King's Day marches and stuff. On Fox News, they showed like riots breaking out, and it was literally marchers singing. And there was not, it's the funniest video you ever see, because the lower third is just like chaos erupts in streets. And it's like people slowly walking. And it's that disconnect that is like, well, doesn't matter what is happening. It's what I want to be happening that's the most important. And it's a fascinating look at people who are like, no, it's not about reality. It's about the symbols of things happening and how I can use that to seem strong in a world where I am definitely not.
It's one of the things that's so frustrating. Like, I have a personal experience just living out here, is like, I know people personally like this. And it's so frustrating when they seemingly want to engage in a topic that requires a little like intellectual nuance or depth. And then the minute you bring up that stuff, they just shut down and are like, nope. And then just no longer there. They're not like, they don't want that. They want you to agree with them, make them feel good, and make them feel like they were right all along. Like, and that's,
I mean, it's the same thing with like certain groups of Christians in this country, which is like,
oh yeah,
Jesus was like, give up all your money, women are awesome. Like, like he had all these different things. That is absolutely not what a lot of modern day Christianity is about.
No, it's one of the reasons I stepped away from Christianity, other than just like a lot of other stuff. But like the idea of reading about Jesus over and over again, and like from kindergarten through high school, and then looking around me and going, nobody is doing what this man talks about that you're making me read. I feel like a crazy person. Like, you're like, no, but his teachings are good. Aleister Crowley, too.
You and Aleister Crowley together.
Oh, Aleister Crowley, just like Jesus, dude. His teachings were great. His actions were not. Well, maybe Jesus's actions were great and his teachings were great.
Well, the thing is like we don't particularly know, because after Jesus, a bunch of dudes just wrote down stuff.
About 200 years after his death. Yeah, like we don't necessarily.
And then other dudes pick and chose what the Bible would be, and that's why there's Council contradictions Nicaea, and it's a mess.
Maybe they get to decide.
Yeah, but like Gnostic conceptually, Jesus as a character, be real or otherwise, be son of God, or be God, whatever, doesn't matter, still had some like really cool ideas about being a good person.
And that's stuff you,
that it's shocking to me that we don't take that and run with it as just people. Because it's Jesus, like, no, that's a good idea. Like, Jesus treat people well.
Fucking, like, he would have been a sick dude to smoke with. I bet you money Jesus would have been so fun to just like chill and smoke with.
He was just a chill dude who was like, yeah, why I know, are we just trying to be good? Yeah.
It's nuts. Before I jump to mine, Alex, I don't know what you have. Is it related in any way to like what Jesse was saying?
I just have a story. I have like a ghost story from our paranormal. It's pretty quick.
Give me it. Yeah, it.
Ghost story.
Yeah, I read this earlier.
It is Reddit related, so that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's fair enough. I wake up in the morning and I read our feeling paranormal.
Like, no, not
pretty
like
much.
Yeah. We don't all feel.
Yeah.
Like
I wake up in the morning reading our paranormal.
Are you doing it? Are you doing it on the toilet? Question.
50-50. Sometimes I'm like, sometimes I'm in my crypt.
You guys poop a lot during the day? Are you like a couple, like once or twice a day?
No.
I do like one big slammer, two big slammers, morning
and night.
Yeah, I'm like a 2 to 5-er, you know, depends on the day.
First thing in the AM, right away. Like, all right, temp start the day.
Good morning, toilet.
Yeah.
That's familiar. It depends on what I do the previous night. This is called My Daughter's Imaginary Friend, New Thing She Couldn't Possibly know. I like this because I read it this morning and it just thought it was neat. I don't really believe in this stuff, or I didn't. Now I'm not sure what I believe. My daughter Emma just turned 5 last month. Around her 4th birthday, she started talking about her friend Clara. Typically, imaginary friend stuff at first. She'd set a place for Clara at dinner, talk to her while playing, normal kid things. My wife and I thought it was cute. But Clara was weirdly specific. Emma said Clara was 7 years old, had long black hair, and wore an old-timey dress with flowers on it. She said Clara was sad because she missed her mom. About 2 months ago, things got strange. We were having breakfast, and Emma suddenly asked why we took down Clara's picture. I had no idea what she meant. She insisted there used to be a picture of Clara in the hallway upstairs. We've lived in this house for 3 years and never taken down any pictures. Then last month, my wife was going through some boxes in the attic looking for old baby clothes, and she found a photo album that belonged to the previous owners. They'd left it by accident, I guess. Inside was a photo from 1982, a little girl, maybe 6 or 7, with long black hair wearing a floral dress.
Oh, shit.
Written on the back, Clara, age 7, summer, 1982. My wife showed me and we just both stared at it. There's no way Emma had ever seen this photo. It was buried in a box under a bunch of other stuff in the far corner of the attic. Emma's never been up there. I asked Emma to describe Clara again. She described the girl in the photo perfectly. The dress, the hair, even said Clara had a tooth missing in the front, which you can see in the photo if you look close. We didn't tell Emma about the photo. We weren't sure what to say. A week later, Emma told us Clara doesn't come play anymore because she found her mom. She said it so casually, like she was talking about a friend who moved away. I did some research on the house. Found an old newspaper article from 1983. A 7-year-old girl named Clara Bennett died in a car accident about 2 miles from here. Her family lived in our house from 1978 to 1985. The accident was in 1982, the same year as the photo. Emma hasn't mentioned Clara since the first time she said she found her mom. I keep trying to rationalize this. Maybe Emma saw the photo somehow and we forgot. Maybe it's just a weird coincidence. But the timing, the details, the way she described everything before we ever found that photo. My wife thinks Clara was real, that she was here and Emma could see her. I want to think there's a logical explanation, but I can't find one. Has anyone else experienced something like this with their kids? I'm not scared exactly, just really unsettled. If Emma could see Clara, what else can she see that we can't? There you go.
You know what is awesome about that? I realized just now that even though I don't believe in ghosts at all,
right?
If my kid came to me and said, hey, Clara, you took down the photo. And then I found a photo in the attic of this kid. I absolutely, for my kid alone, would hang that photo up.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I don't believe it. I would hang the – I was like, oh, I would have hung that photo up. I would have put it in a little frame, hung it up back on the wall. And even though I'm like, no, I think my kid's crazy, I still would have been like, I love my kid, so I'm going to do this for you.
Yeah,
like,
that's,
I would have done that in a heartbeat.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I would too, unless it was haunted, then it goes away.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like, it just sounds like, I don't know. I don't know what it sounds like.
I love that sometimes little kids have these weird things where they'll like say things they shouldn't know about dead family members or people in they don't know at all. Or sometimes like weird lives, past lives they've supposedly had. I always find that fascinating.
It freaks me out. It feels realer than other stories.
It does. It's really bizarre.
Even though it's like tropey, even almost the story. Well, like, yeah.
Let me bring this minisode down with some ancient aliens, boys.
Bring it down.
But not actually ancient aliens, but really fucking fascinating. So a study has been released, and this study I knew has been going on for a couple months now. It finally got published. This is at Stockholm University. It's also published at a couple other places. Let me scroll down and look. iopscience.org, nature.com, a bunch of other stuff. So basically, there was a study being done about transients in the Palomar Observatory Sky Survey. And this is the first study of its kind where what they did was they looked at transient starlight objects of unknown origin that have been identified in the first Palomar Observatory Sky Survey conducted prior to the first artificial satellite. They're looking at pictures taken from observatories on Earth before we ever had satellites in the sky.
Okay. All right.
And they tested a speculative hypothesis that some transients are related to nuclear weapons testing or unidentified anomalous phenomena reports. And in a data set comprising daily data from November 19th, 1949 to April 28th, 1957, they looked at daily data for those years. Regarding the identified transients, nuclear testing and UAP reports was created. That's about 2,718 days of data. And results revealed significant, and they mean by off by 0.008, associations between nuclear testing being done on Earth and observed transients, with transients 45% more likely to show up on dates within plus or within a day of a nuclear testing.
So what you're saying is, when you say transients, you mean stuff moving in the
flickering of light that shows up in one photo and is gone in the next within the same minute or so.
Those things that we always see, basically.
Yes, for days on which at least, basically they identified for days on which at least one transient was identified, significant associations were noted between total number of transients and total number of independent UAP reports per date to a 0.015 difference. For every additional UAP report on a given date, there was an 8.5% increase in number of transients identified. So when people on Earth were making UAP reports, they have photos that show there was an increased number of things they were seeing by 8.5%. So like people seeing UAPs, and there was actually an increase of things being seen by the cameras. Small but significant associations between nuclear testing and number of UAP reports were also noted. Findings suggest associations beyond chance between occurrence of transients in both nuclear testing and UAP reports. This is a whole study. That was just a few opening paragraph of the study. I'll obviously link it to you in case you want to read it later. I'm just going to read the little bit of article that was written about this by the thing. Researchers at Nordita, a Stockholm university, have analyzed flashes of light on astronomical plates from early 1950s and found statistical connections between the time of these flashes, nuclear weapons tests, and reports of UAP. The results are presented in two published studies published in scientific reports and publications of Astronomical Society of the Pacific. Researchers at Nordic Stockholm, together with international colleagues at Vanderbilt University, have published two new studies that show that historical astronomical observations contain unexpected patterns. The results are based on short-lived flashes of light captured on photographic plates from the early 1950s within the VASCO project, which is vanishing and appearing sources during a century of observations. The project analyzes digitized astronomical plates to identify sources that blink, disappear, or suddenly appear, and in this way better understand both natural and previously unexplained phenomena. Quote, today we know that short flashes of light are often solar reflections from flat, highly reflective objects in orbit around the Earth, such as satellites and space debris. But the photographic plates analyzed in VASCO were taken before humans had satellites in space, says Beatriz Villarreal, a researcher at Nordic at Stockholm University. The first article published in the scientific reports analyzes 106,000 flashes of lights or transients that look like stars appearing and disappearing within a single exposure. The study shows statistical connections between the phenomena, reports of UAP, and atmospheric nuclear weapons tests during the 1950s. The flashes were 68% more likely to occur the day after a nuclear weapons test than on days without.
Interesting.
In addition, the number of flashes increases by an average of 8.5% for each report of UAP. When both these reports and nuclear tests coincided, the effects were additive, with more than twice as many flashes of light as on days without either nuclear tests or reports. Quote, the magnitude of the association between flashes of light and nuclear tests was surprising, as was the very specific time at which they most often occurred, namely the day after a test. What they might represent is a fascinating question that needs further investigation, says Stephen Bruhl of Vanderbilt University. The second paper published in publications of Astronomical Society of the Pacific specifically looks for signs of possible extraterrestrial artifacts in orbit around Earth before the first human satellite launch in 1957. The researchers looked, among other things, for instances where multiple flashes of light were along a line or in a narrow band, something that indicates reflection from flat reflective objects in motion. Two interesting examples were identified, one of which occurred on July 27, 1952, the same night as the notable sightings of UAP over Washington, D.C., which is something we will cover one day, but there is photos and shit of UAPs that literally appeared over the Capitol building in Washington on that date.
Shocking.
The same articles test a method that the research team recently published in the monthly notices of Royal Astronomical Society, comparing how often the phenomena occur in the Earth's shadow where solar reflections cannot occur. The new article in PASP, which again studies more than 106,000 transients seen across the northern starry sky, shows a clear deficit of flashes of light in the Earth's shadow, with one one-third missing, suggesting that at least one-third of the phenomena were caused by solar reflections from highly reflective objects in high orbits. For a long time, single points of light on astronomical plates have been dismissed as defects, even when they looked like real stars. The new studies show that some of these phenomena are actually real objects and exhibit patterns that cannot be explained by chance or image noise. Quote, amidst what has been perceived as noise on the plates, there seems to be a genuine population of phenomena that correlate with, among other things, nuclear weapon tests or reports of UAP, and that are missing in the Earth's shadow. You don't get that kind of solar reflection from round objects like asteroids or dust of grain in space, which leaves streaks during a 50-minute exposure, but only if something is very flat and very reflective and reflects the sunlight with a short flash, says BH's Viriol. The researchers suggest that the results are unexpected and indicate that some of the small dots on the plates may be due to reflections from physical objects in high orbit around the Earth. This article was published 2 days ago.
Crazy. Huh. That's pretty convincing. Like, that's pretty...
You would think, right, if we've been visited for as long as people think we have, you would think they would be on, like, we'd have images of them before we had satellites, and turns out we might. That's the article I linked to as well that I just read from. I just wanted to bring this, I don't have any input other than this is a fascinating study, and people I've been following it for a little bit, and now that it's out, I'm excited to talk about it, and it's fucking interesting of what they found.
It really fucking is.
It makes you go, huh? Right? These are people who are like much smarter than we are. Like, there is a pattern. There's something here, something bizarre. And more interestingly, after nuke testing, which seems to be a constant fucking pattern for whatever these things are, as they show up 45% more after a nuke test. And for every report of a UAP, they have 8.5% more activity on their plate. It's weird.
Yeah.
It is. Like, I have so many questions about the information that they have.
Right.
Like, how, what was that taken on? There's so many factors and questions I have. I'm kind of like overwhelmed by it. Reading through this, I'm like, I wish we had like a person who was, I don't want to say space oriented, but
a science
technically
expert.
In like a specialist on this. So we could be like, all right, question. What does
what
that
the
mean?
Fuck is
and
this?
What would this be? And how would that work?
Yeah.
What they used. So they actually linked it and said that they were identified in what they used was publicly available scanned images from the POSSI survey. That's available on the website.
Sure. I'm saying so, like
that's how they got that.
There's, all right, you're taking a thing, then you're scanning it, and then like what kind of artifact? Like, there's so many things. I'm not saying that affects the outcome of this, but I would love to know details about this kind of stuff, because I feel like there's
here. This answers it. This will be the last bit that I'll help explain. Okay. The process used to identify transients and eliminate misidentifications was conducted via an automated workflow, blah, 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 detailed on another article. In brief, transients were defined as distinct star-like point sources present in the images that they grabbed from POSSI, ERED images that were absent both in image taken immediately prior to the POS red image and all subsequent images. So something that blinked in between just in one image. The final criterion for classifying an object as a transient was that there were no counterparts either in Pan-STARRS DR1 or Gaia DR3, at least than 5 arcsec, whatever the fuck that means. The transient dataset contained the dates, times, coordinates of each transient identified. For many dates, transients were noted in multiple images reflecting observations of different locations in the sky. The transient data was converted to an SPSS for Windows data file that included a single line for each date. So, like, yeah, they went through it and, like, eliminated it that way. But, again, I don't know what Pan-STARRS DR1 or Gaia DR3 is and, like, what they used for that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just at the
Dear
very
techies on the Reddit.
What I can understand is the problem, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, techies of Reddit. Who knows this stuff? I'm so curious.
So I guess techies of Patreon for now, but, yeah.
Yeah,
so much of it is, like, my own preconceptions messing up my perception of it.
Right. Yeah. I don't really understand. Again, I don't know. It's fascinating that there seems to be a pretty tight correlation with certain things, though. Like, right.
Like
even if it's like a weird thing, there's a correlation between it and nukes, and that seems to make sense.
That's so seemingly seemingly definitively convincing, right?
To me, yeah, like it's up there.
Not a coincidence.
It's weird. Yeah. It's fucking weird. Again, they went from 1949 to 1957, so they went for like 7 or 8 years of photos, 2,000 something days of photos, which was over 100,000 photos they went through. It's nuts. So I'm putting that out there. I will have to tantalize all those who like. If these things are real and we have been being observed in any way, of course they would be up there before we have satellites up there. And it makes you fucking wonder, as always. Yeah. It's a good it's a good fucking read. I'm going to throw this into the Discord too. I'm very curious if anybody in the Discord would know anything better about like how like this is done. But I find it fascinating because it got published and like it's from Stockholm University. Like, I don't know if that's a good or not, but it's people that are smarter than me.
Right.
Anyway, on that tantalizing note of what is out there,
that's really the crazy truth, man.
That's right? Really crazy. Isn't it crazy? Yeah. And the thing, we could have been talking about having your brain in two separate consciousnesses when it's disconnected. Something else.
That's also fucked up. That's also fucked up. But that's.
Thank you, everybody, for supporting us here at patreon.com. So that's your Illuminati Pod. We'll be back next week with another mini-sode. We appreciate you. We love you.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.